Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please? Explorations Early Learning has been producing low-tech, high-think toys for years. Check out our yummy wooden delights at explorationsearlylearning.com under the Shop tab. And think about joining the Toy of the Month Club. For a reasonable monthly fee, we ship you a sweet, sweet box of play. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Before we get started, I want to apologize for last Friday's sound episode. I hadn't even had a cocktail yet in the day, and we ended up something screwed up. I usually try to not make that happen and try to fix it in post-production, but it didn't happen. And so if you made it through the episode where we sounded like we were in an aquarium, thank you, and I'll try to keep it from happening again. The Child Care Bar and Grill podcast, I'm Jeff Johnson with Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And this week we're trying out a new, I think this is going to become a series because I think there's a lot of fun that can be had here. We're calling it Shit We Saw on Pinterest because we were messing around on Pinterest the other day, and Lisa Murphy had to create an account because she was not a, as you heard previously, she's drunk the Netflix Kool-Aid, but.
I thought you said she's a drunk.
I know, that's right. Like,
well, sometimes we hear our own personal truths in other people's words.
Okay, let's start over.
Take two.
I absolutely refused to ever be on Pinterest. In fact, sometimes at a gig, I even make a joke about, like, the only social media that I'm really not on, at least the big five, right, was Pinterest. And people are like, why? Why are you not on Pinterest? And I'm like, because y'all are on Pinterest. I don't need to be on Pinterest. And anyway, now that I'm looking at what's here, I clearly – there was a reason why I was so staunchly holding on to my.
You need to be here. Okay, so here's the way this is going to work. We're gonna search a term on Pinterest, and then we're gonna see what comes up, and then we're gonna pick up things.
And then we're gonna do a shot. We're gonna turn it into a drinking game.
Well, if you as listeners want to turn this into a drinking game, let us know what you figure out, and we'll promote it. And so we searched preschool art. And came up with some stuff. The first one I want to talk about is something called Celery Stamping Rainbow Fish Craft for Kids. And apparently you take a fish shape that an adult has obviously drawn. That fish wasn't drawn by a child, was it, Lisa?
No. Not even a gifted
not
child.
Even
a,
yeah, and you put a googly eye on it because, I mean, why wouldn't you? And then you stamp, apparently, fish scales on it with celery sticks.
With celery sticks. And apparently you do it in the Roy G. Biv. Red, orange.
Oh, yeah, you got to. It's got to be.
Yes.
Rainbow fish.
And yes. So.
So is this pre-literacy?
What is this?
It's a waste of everybody's time. Next question.
I know.
That's not going to make this game fun.
Every time Lisa gets pissy, you have to do a shot.
Kitty has claws.
Meow.
Okay, so let's break it down, okay? Because I know I can be an ass too, just like Jeff occasionally. But okay, so
Tasha's never Tasha's never an ass, by the way.
No, she actually. Hold on, let me do a scan. I don't think she ever has been an ass.
Yeah.
She's tolerated us. She's worthy of it. She needs a prize. Okay, so people who have heard us before, people who've seen me before, you should know what I'm going to say to this. Okay, so clearly this has been drawn by an adult, and clearly now the children are given a task to do.
It's post-it, so they do it the same way.
Of course. And so, one, who is this for? Two, why are we doing it? And three, okay, so like even if I was the kid in your class and you gave this to me and you said today we're stamping with celery, what if I just moved my celery all over? You know, it gives, again, just like the catalog bit that we talked about last week, it's sending a message that this is what it is supposed to look like.
Yes.
And that right there, to me, is the art.
Well, and you're going to have those children that are, like, OCD and have to do it the exact way. And if it doesn't turn out looking exact, they're going to just have a meltdown.
I just don't understand why you would need to do this at all.
I really like how there's not a single stamp out of the fish body.
Even though the wet celery are laying.
It's totally done by an adult.
Yes. Yeah.
And now, could you have fun with celery and paint?
Yeah, but you don't need to have a fish, you know, ditto worksheet that you're now coloring in or painting in on. Give the kids a piece of paper, put out a big roll of butcher paper, put some celery next to some plates of paint, and see what happens.
But what about for those children in the world who don't have celery?
Oh, for kids who don't have access to food.
Celery. Maybe, who the hell wants to eat celery anyway?
Nobody likes celery. Yeah. Use your fingers then. That's called finger painting. Right? Most kids have a couple fingers.
All right, so right below that one, there's called Monet Art Project. And apparently, what's going on there?
Hold on, I don't have Monet under there.
You're
to the left.
Yeah, you got
Monet
a different
art
shapes.
Project. Oh, it's the tape pull art. Somebody found a way to make tape pulling product oriented.
And so what's going on there? Apparently, you put the tape on the paper, and apparently, is that a bridge or a bent ladder, or what the hell is
that? I think it's supposed to be one of Monet's bridges.
Okay, and then you spoosh paint on, dot paint on there, and then you let it dry, and then you peel off the tape, and that's a Monet. No, that's not fucking Monet. Monet painted Monet, and Monet worked hard at it, and he used
watercolors, first of all.
Did he use tape? Was there a lot of tape? Were his bridges done with tape?
I can just see pulling off the tape and then the paper coming with, and you've screwed up the project.
Well, tape pulling art is one of the activities in my book. But usually it turns into stuffing tape into wet paint and pulling some of it off or painting over it or, you know.
Yeah.
Could this become process oriented? Yes. Again, my question, where is the need to link it to Monet coming from? What is that about? Famous artist projects for kids.
Well, I went on, I followed the link, and it's at the beginning of the link, famous artist crafts for kids. Learning about famous artists can be lots of fun and a great opportunity for children to explore different techniques and mediums. Follow along with us as we explore the different masterpieces and create our own artistic impressions. Our own, there should be a space in there. For each famous artist, we include a suggested reading as well as a printable reference guide to the back of your child's art. Because, you know, 30 years from now, they're going to want to go back to their
Here's the Lisa Murphy, how to make this as developmentally appropriately inappropriate as possible. Let's say that you actually went to an art museum and you noticed that some of the kids were kind of intrigued by the style that Monet or any artist for that matter was bringing to the table. Then my job as a teacher is to put some of those things out into the environment and encourage that. You guys saw this. You were interested in this. Here are some things. Blah, blah, blah. Where might this go? Right.
Exactly.
So this at face value, although it might sound like we're, you know, ripping it. It's the manner in which it is presented that often I think is where many adults, not just teachers, not just parents, will get stuck.
And I followed the link. Now, does that look like a child hand removing that tape?
No, probably an adult hand.
That's an adult hand. Yes. So even a developmentally helpful bit, that tape peeling, a good thing for you to do if you're 2 1/2, if the adult's doing it so it gets peeled perfectly.
That's not child.
Maybe
and also, show me the kid who won't. Now, here's the thing. Okay, and you know I get antsy. Well, not antsy. I never like to sound during podcasts like I'm plugging into like workshop bit mode. But in this case, I'm going to. Okay, so if the child on their own at some point while they're investigating paint says to you, you know,
to make a Monet bridge.
I want to make a Monet bridge. Then I'm going to be like, what do you need? You know, what do you need?
Yes.
I'm going to facilitate that. But to lead with no context at all to their experience, to their world, to what's been going on in their life, to lead with today we're making Monet bridges, it's just so out of context, and it's self-serving to the adults in the space, and it might give this impression that my children are learning about Monet. You're not learning about my Monet by putting tape on a paper and painting over it and peeling it off.
What you're doing is
putting
tape
on paper
and painting
over it and peeling
it
off.
That's a big... There's a big difference there.
Yes.
It's a big difference because, you know, purely if you take – I've seen kids get – emotionally, like, have responses to certain pieces of art. And they've been young children, you know, and it's not always Pollock.
Angry, everybody the angry toast you were talking about the other
day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What a great, like, circle back. So I was at the – doing a gig in Medicine Hat and the art center that I always do gigs in there, and it's an amazing venue, by the way. On the columns that were in the lobby, there were all of these pictures, and nobody seemed to know what they were about. And many of the pictures appeared to be, from me as an adult looking at them, pieces of toast that were angry. Like, they had faces, they were screaming, they had teeth, some of them were running.
I need more butter.
Yeah. And so I was all day, I was very curious about this. I'm like, what's the context? Where did it up? Well, finally, at the end of the day, one of the guys who was working there, who was helping me schlep my stuff out, I said, please do, you know, what is the context to this angry toast? And all he said was, come with me. And he brought me into the gallery, which I didn't know was there. There was actually an art gallery there. As he opened the door and we walked around like the main image that you saw, and there was a full-on display from an artist who did this whole pieces. It had a name. It was like the cat and the cat and the bread and the it wasn't angry toast. But the images were of angry toast. And the children had, according to this gentleman, had been through here on a field trip and then were asked or prompted, you know, here's pens, paper, markers, whatever. Why don't you draw something that you're taking of what was the one thing that inspired you? And many, 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 many of the children were inspired by angry art. So you cannot say that just because they're young, they're not taking something from the experience, but it needs to come organically from the children because the adults are locking on something totally different that the adults are locking on. That's not good or bad. It's just don't call it kid art because it's not.
Do kids, early childhood, birth to eight, do kids that age care about Monet probably? Or
if they've been to an art museum and they were pulled to it, maybe not Monet, but maybe the colors or the textures or the image or something.
And if their parents or caregivers were something they grew up with in their home.
Sure.
But where I'm going is this just an activity to make parents proud that Johnny learned about Monet at preschool?
That's what I was just saying. Yeah. That perception of, at my school, the kids are learning, but they're not learning about it.
Yeah. And so.
Plus, it's kind of, I mean, and I'm not an artist, but I would imagine that some purists would say that this is potentially like a disrespect or a. You know what I'm saying? Like not really respecting the work or the medium of that actual artist. Like,
or
you're bastardizing somehow.
Yeah.
Exactly what Monet was really about. And it's also potentially insulting to the children to assume that they need some dumbed down experience of what Monet himself actually did.
Yeah. And I mean, if they really, for a child to develop the skills they need to become a serious artist, if that's the road they're going down, the best thing we can do is what we advocate about is put them in front of the stuff. And what do you need?
What do you need?
Have you seen anything else on that page? That I've got another one if you guys.
Well, I found one further down that page, and it's fake x-rays made out of Q-tips.
What the hell? Okay.
It's like they pretended to do an X. They clearly, here's what I'm thinking they did. They traced, the kid put their hand on the paper. Yep. They traced a little bit of their wrist and their fingers, and then obviously were given 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Q-tips. And pretended that
there are 9 bones in the hand, right?
And they look like Q-tips, apparently.
They are Q-tips. Yes, I've seen this before.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. But I'm thinking, where are the joints for your fingers to bend?
If it's going to be x-ray week, and I don't really know why it would be unless somebody fell down at school and broke their arms and we had to go to the hospital and get x-rays.
But it's X week.
This is for X. X is for Q-tip.
I was thinking x-ray. Almost a spit take.
Oh my God! And then plus it's the description is it's cute, and so you know this about me, cute.
Too cute. This is too cute.
Too cute. If it's too cute, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. Now, okay, so I don't know at what point we're going to give credit where credit is due, but as I'm scrolling through here and vomiting in my mouth most of the time, then I'm seeing some things, you know, that are balancing out the, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, and so a shout out to those of you who are fully invested in process-oriented art.
Here's one I like, DIY paintbrushes. And what it is, it's just clothespins. and you're just clipping different stuff in between them, and it looks like they got
awesome.
One's got a hunk of sponge, and one's got some mint leaves, and one's got a couple pieces of yarn, and one's got a poof ball, and that's great making your own paintbrushes. Kind of stuff. So
well, along the same lines as your own paintbrushes, go down farther, and there's a rolling pin with string on it, and they just run it through the paint.
I saw that. I'm looking at that one right now.
That one's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Oh. Yeah.
But then right to the left of it is the octopus counting activity, where we're doing one-on-one correspondence, and that baby's hand, that is a baby's hand. That is the most inappropriate thing. Why are we doing that? We're matching. What is that? Oh,
that is looks
the
like
waste
Cheerios.
Of Cheerios, is
Cheerios
what it is.
Onto the circle, the adult drawn octopus. What?
Oh boy.
Yeah. No.
Now then, there's that spinning thing. Go further down. Clearly, the kids are like on some kind of spinner where they're going in a circle, and but then it's completely undermined by this penguin stuffed water bottle. Penguins on parade. Do you see this?
I haven't.
It's a water bottle.
Some people scroll faster and scroll faster.
Look at that. Why would you do that?
It's cute.
It's Penguin Week. It's winter. It's probably some school in California.
Well, they're supposed to
talking about winter.
Because it's probably they're probably doing a recycling theme, and you got to use those old water bottles someplace.
Read the title underneath it.
Penguins on Parade blog article.
Ooh, look at me being judgmental. Oh, look at maybe this is an ally.
Well, what's the link?
Let's see. There's the link. Penguins on Parade, a blog article on children's art process versus product, but I don't see a link to the actual.
If you click,
on, click
the
on the picture.
I did click on the picture. Oh. And it brought me to. Oh, okay. It brought me to that.
Oh.
Oh, but. Oh, yes. Yeah, see, clearly it's a link to a sooner, a more recent thing. And if she is taking a process oriented art stance, I'm thinking no.
Lots of paper
props. Lots of paper plates.
Yes.
Where did that happen? When did that happen?
You can buy a whole bunch of them cheaply, though.
The love of paper plate?
Yeah.
Well, big plate got together with big paper. That's where the paper plate came from. And then paper plate got big itself.
Ooh.
And then big paper plate decided they needed a place to offload more merchandise. And one of the guys on the board, his wife worked for a early learning program, and he sent her a case of paper plates to work, and then it grew up from there. So it's
my heart
it's
is like
thing.
Pounding.
I'm not sure that's true.
I want to say, like, run away. Stop.
So this.
But then there's this awesome one, okay? There's, like, three kids standing over butcher paper squeezing paint out of, like, ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise bottles. You know, that's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Painting
with
squirt bottles.
Is ketchup written out on the bottle? Is it so?
No, it's
can you tell
just
if it's
a squirt bottle.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure it was with a C or a K. I thought there's one a little bit further down. Soap-free bubble prints. I thought she was snorting the bubbles, but she's blowing into them.
Puffy paint ice cream crafts.
Puffy paint ice cream.
It says puffy paint ice cream cone crafts. So is it semantics? Is it crafts versus art versus? Because I get that sometimes in the workshop. People want to talk about, well, what's the difference between a craft and an art project? And I'm like, 2 hours of your time. See, and I think sometimes we get, maybe I'm just feeling this. This might not actually be true. But, you know, some of this, I mean, I don't want to sound like it's evil and it's bad, right? Because, you know, like back in Girl Scouts, we used to, like, do stuff like this. And the leaders would come in and we'd make something. But, you know, but I don't remember. It was more of like a following instructions kind of lesson, right?
Yes.
We're calling it craft.
And you weren't three.
And I wasn't three, and there was an element of following directions, I guess. But, you know, we were five in brownies, you know, when we did stuff like that. So maybe it's more of, like, let's call it what it is. Like, it's clearly not the child expressing his or her own self through this vehicle, through this medium, right? So what actually is it? If it's following 1, 2, 3, 4-step directions, then let's call it what it is instead of hiding behind some kind of cute, let's pretend it's a project, because it's not.
No.
Well, it is a project, but I would not call it a developmentally appropriate one.
No.
I don't know, Jeff. Come on. What talk to me.
I've been
vacuum.
Gobstopped. Is that a word?
I think it's candy.
I think it's a taking speech. I found a firefly in a jar. Apparently, what you do is you have a child put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 yellow fingerprints on a piece of paper.
Oh, I just saw that one. And then, I didn't know what it was. I'm like, anything with a thumbprint.
After the kid makes the thumbprints, then an adult cuts the paper into the shape of a mason jar, puts some foil over the top to make the lid, draws the lines on the lid, draws little movement lines and wings on the fingerprints to make them into fireflies. And
that's
so
a lot of work for the adults.
And so that's 3 seconds of child activities and 15 minutes per project for the adult to do during nap time to hang on the bulletin board for a couple of days and then stuff in the damn backpack.
I'm wondering, well, I would even disagree with 3 seconds of kid time, because you know they probably, the adult, I bet,
pushed their finger down. Oh yeah, because they to get them evenly spaced.
Evenly spaced and to get the right number.
And it's not smudged.
And any kid I know would have been finger painting all over it. See, it's that, why? You know, I had never seen a firefly. I think I told you this story because it was so potty oriented, because we were sitting on the deck, I think last summer, and I think I saw one. And I told you, I was 44 years old before I ever saw my first firefly. You know, so this would have meant absolutely nothing to me.
Yeah.
If you click the link, you come up with a bunch more...
Firefly thing?
No, it's a bunch more crap. Apparently, it's part of a boxed curriculum. There's...
Save your money.
Yeah, don't.
You get diagramming a firefly, firefly facts, 2 firefly poems, firefly bookmark, life cycle of a firefly science wheel, firefly word fun book. That sounds delightful. Life cycle of a firefly fan book, because all the firefly fans want the life cycle book.
Fan fiction for firefly.
the Eight family of words, ABC skills sheets, and silly story poem. 1, 2, 3 count firefly with me math booklet, 18 word wall word flashcards, 2 firefly math skill set sheets.
You know, if I ever decided to sell my soul to the devil, you know, you and I, Tasha,
we could create all kinds of that shit.
We could create a whole bunch of this and make a fortune, blood money.
And then we.
That I wouldn't be able to sleep at night, worse than I don't already sleep at night.
I think collectively, a lot of the stuff here that we've got problems with, one of the big things is the child time versus adult time, child engagement versus adult engagement.
And the context, right? Because even if, okay, so let me just push that, I'll articulate.
Yeah.
The kid time element could still be high, but the context and actual understanding could still be very, very low. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I could be able to finger paint or do it the way that I want, but it might be me attempting to represent something that in my 4-year-old world, I have no concept of what this is.
Yeah, I'm doing this.
Like, for this example, okay, this Lego stamped Indian corn.
What the frack?
Okay, so on the top picture, there's a kid using Legos, Duplos actually, like to make. So my kid time investment's pretty high because maybe I'm going to make 2, 3, or 4 of them.
Woo-hoo!
But then while I'm napping, you're going to totally hijack my project and cut it out into something that what is that?
Yeah.
Well, the adult turns it into something valuable.
Oh, because it wasn't. It was
because,
just crap.
Yeah, it was just some thing the kid did, and then they make it look like a thing.
Or like you've said before, I've read in your book that, you know, they used just one little corner of the paper, and so you cut out that little corner so you can save it.
Oh, there's more octopus math if you go a little bit further down. Instead of the Cheerios, you're putting something glittery, and the first leg has one glittery thing on it, and the second leg has 2, and on up to 8, so we can learn how to count to 8 with an octopus. Because
everybody has an octopus.
You want to do that? Bring a damn octopus into the room.
There you go.
And then it might have some relevance. But the kids might find something more interesting about the octopus being in a classroom than counting to 8.
Or putting Cheerios on it. Yeah, but then a little closer by there is also then a beautiful post of potato mashing prints. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
I guess I'm feeling...
Well, we're kind of.
I'm like trying to balance it out a little bit. Yeah, like, I'm not third.
Apparently, Lisa Murphy hates Pinterest.
Oh, you mean like B is for butterfly? You put your fingers together and make the butterfly, and then somebody else comes in and.
Look at the one under. Hold on, you scroll down. I just finally found this octopus math one that you just found. Uh-huh. Right under that one is the handprint campfire preschool art project. Do you see this?
That's creepy.
Where I'm putting the kid. Clearly, an adult has painted the kid's hand. Red at the bottom and then orange and then yellow on the fingertips. I make a handprint and then I glue brown construction paper that has been cut up to look like fake logs.
So does that encourage them to play with fire?
Well, then let's go build a bonfire.
I think that encourages children to light their hands on fire.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't even know what weird theme this would be. Oh, maybe camp week. Camping.
Camp week.
Camping.
Oh, fire prevention.
Oh, I don't
well,
know.
No, then the water, there'd be water dumped on the picture of a glass of water dumping on it.
Would be in shades of blue.
It's
pouring.
Handprint campfire week.
That's it.
Oh, I see. B is for butterfly.
and
we're going to use our hands, though. So H is for butterfly.
and did an adult write B is for butterfly on there?
Oh, no. Every 4-year-old that I have ever met. And
the curly cues and the calligraphy looking stuff. Okay.
Well, yeah, then I see one for dish brush dandelion craft
for kids.
Yeah, I
saw that one.
I like the idea of painting with the dandelion or
the brush,
brush.
But it doesn't
have to be a dandelion unless the kids said, hey, these are dandelions. Okay, then just let them represent dandelions.
Then we got magnet painting. There you go. That's good. Hampy camping. Camping without bugs.
Oh.
Camping.
Oh. Ooh.
Talk to me about this. I can't see it.
It's essentially we're pretending to be camping, so we're making a fake bonfire in the classroom made out of foil and brown paper.
Without bugs, so that the only bugs are if somebody had lice in the classroom.
That's right. Boy, we're going to hell.
All right, so we're coming up on half an hour of...
Oh, my God! Dissing.
I told you this was going to be a fun new series to do.
Well, you had the campfire one with the handprint. I found W is for watermelon, and the hand looks, it's been painted like a watermelon.
Why?
Well,
cute. People, that's what people are going to say.
Okay.
Cute. Honeycomb. Honeycomb Cheerio. Remember that cereal? Do they still make that cereal?
Honeycomb? No, I remember Honeycomb.
Honeycomb
cereal.
Art and fingerprint bees. Let kids get creative as they like by building their own beehives. How about you call a bee guy and have him come put a hive in there?
Bring out some bees. All right, we got to wrap this up. Hey, listeners, if you've enjoyed listening to us peruse Pinterest alliteration. Look at that. Listening to us peruse Pinterest for the last half hour. Thanks.
If not, whatever.
No, seriously, if you're Pinteresting around and you find something that you think we'd either enjoy or enjoy not liking, please share it with us on the Bar and Grill page, and we'll be back next week.
Well, and
week.
If you don't hear from me for a while, since this is my first exposure to Pinterest, you'll be like, I bet Lisa Murphy, we haven't heard from her because she's like 45 pages deep in Pinterest.
She's gone down the Pinterest rabbit hole. We'll be back Monday with another episode. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Having a hard time sleeping? Off your feed, feeling blah, blasé, down? Maybe you need more Lisa Murphy in your life. Check out ooeygooey.com and hunt her down on Twitter and Instagram. It'll make your life better.
One, two, three.
Hey, we're starting a revolution. A play revolution. A playvolution. Get it? Come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community, a place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there. Thanks for listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends, left a comment at myplayvolution.com, and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.